Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Samach Gimel. We left off on Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom of the page. Rabbi Akiva, Raya de Ben Kalbus. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and honor his wife and children, and Lizay Chodishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Allah Shalom, the Neshavah Shrav Naliyah, and also sponsored Lizachus Rafu Shalema for a very young baby, Tinok Ben Sima Rezel, who's having serious surgery today. He should have a Rafu Shalema. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to, after going through all the stories yesterday about people who went away to learn and left their wives behind, we're going to have the ultimate story of the person who went away to learn and left his wife behind, and what the great zuchus that she had was, and that is of course the story of Rabbi Akiva. And that's going to take us pretty much to the Mishnah Namad Aleph, and then the Mishnah Namad Aleph is going to talk about the din of a moredes, or a morid for that matter, meaning the penalties that both a husband and wife suffer if they don't fulfill their obligations in the marriage. So after discussing what those obligations are, as we've done in the past several Mishnayos, we're now going to talk about what the repercussions are of not fulfilling one's obligations in the marriage. The Mishnah is going to talk about a moredes. The Gemara says, but what does moredes mean? Does that mean she refuses tashmish? Does it mean she refuses to do malacha? And we're going to bring rayas as to which one it might mean, and then the Gemara is going to discuss the announcements that we make to inform everybody that she is moredes, so as to embarrass her into not being moredes anymore, and where those announcements are made and how frequently those announcements are made. And that will bring us pretty much to the end of the daf. So let's begin at the story of Rabbi Akiva, again four lines from the bottom of the page on daf Samach Beis and Beis. Rabbi Akiva Raya to Ben Kalba Savua Hava. Rabbi Akiva was the shepherd of Ben Kalba Savua. Ben Kalba Savua was a tremendous ashir, and the reason he was called Kalba Savua, because anyone who was nichnas lebeisa ra of kikelev, the Gemara in Gittin in the Chobar Nagadita tells us, anyone who came into his house starving like a dog would come out savua, would come out satiated. So that's why he's called Kalba Savua. From our Gemara, the implication is Rabbi Kiva did not marry the daughter of Kalba Savua, but the daughter of Ben Kalba Savua, that he was working from Kalba Savua's son, not Kalba Savua himself. But there are many different versions of this story in different places in Shas and in other places in Chazal, and some places it implies that he was working for Kalba Savua himself. Chazize Barti Dava Tzania Umale, their daughter of Kalba Savua, or Ben Kalba Savua, saw something in Rabbi Akiva. She saw that he had this tremendous sense of tznius, he had these midos tovos. So tznius means that he had a certain hanhaga of tznius. The Gemara Maseches Brachos of Samach Beis says that Rabbi Akiva always excelled, particularly in the area of tznius, and Mali means that he had a tremendous sense of Ben Adam Lechavero. He got along very well with people, but he didn't learn any Torah. And the Mishnah in the second paragraph of Pirkei Avos says, V'lo ama aretz chassid. So that's what the Marsha points out. She saw that he had certain qualities, but he was missing one major quality that would complement this very, very well. Now, Tosos raises the question, what do you mean he was Tzenua Mali, that he had such Midos Tovos? The Gemara in Psachim Daf Mem Tes tells us that in the whole, it has all Amud there about Amei Aretz and how terrible Amei Aretz are and how you have to stay away from them and don't travel alone with them because they'll kill you and all sorts of things about Amei Aretz. So one of the things the Gemara says is Rabbi Akiva says, I know the mindset of an Amei Aretz, because when I was an Amei Aretz, Hayisi Yomer, mi yitin li Talmud Chacham v'nashchenu k'chamor, who's going to give me a Talmud Chacham and I'll bite him like a donkey? So that doesn't sound like someone who's tzanua umali. That doesn't sound like someone who has such wonderful midos ben adam chavero. So Tulsa says the Yisod. Tulsa says Yikol Neimer Dasam Lav Mishum Shay Yisod Neitamid Chamim El Mishum Shay Yisover Shay Mizgoin Alame Aretz Mipnei Tarasan VeYitamid Cham Sonim Al Sam. That the Amerets don't hate Tamid Chamim. The Amerets are unsure what to make of Tamid Chamim. They assume that the Tamid Chamim hate them and look down upon them and are have the superiority attitude toward them, and therefore their reaction reacting to what they assume, kemayim panim al panim, what they assume Talmidei Chacham think of them. And they say, and once they have that idea in their head, they have plenty of evidence that it's true. How do I know Talmidei Chacham hate me? Because I'm not allowed to touch them. If I touch them, then they get all crazy. Well, what's the big deal if I shake their hand? Because they don't realize that it's about the dinim of Tumantara and the Big Day Amar, it's a Medrash Leprusim, so they assume that it must be based in hatred, and it's all because of that misunderstanding. That's what Rabbi Akiva meant. But not that Rabbi Akiva was a bad person. The Ritva says, no, he initially was a bad person. He hated Talmidei Chacham initially, like the Gemara Pesachim says. And that's Dafka what Pascal B'Savua saw. She saw that he was developing, that he worked on his Midos, and he became a Tsunua and Mali, and that he's a growth-oriented person, and therefore the next step is that let him grow in Torah, and he could become something wonderful. So Amrale, she said to him, Imakdashin lachazalta lebeirav, if I agree to receive kiddushin from you, will you go to learn Torah? The implication is that's all that happened, is that she got kiddushin and not nisuin. So the Ben Yoyada explains that Ben Yoyada raises a simple question. He says, obviously she was trying to arrange that she'd be married to him and that he would be a Talmud Chacham. But if she so badly wanted to marry a Talmud Chacham, why not just marry a Talmud Chacham? Meaning, why would she dafka pick out the guy that's a total amaret and in the hopes that he'll become a Talmud Chacham? Why not marry a Talmud Chacham? So Ben Yoyad explains, based on the Gemara in Sota, that Nashim have a zuchus in Talmud Torah as well, even though they're pater from Talmud Torah. Nashim b'mezachya, and the Gemara in Sota says that they encourage their husbands in learning. Now, it's true that they get a zuchus no matter who their husband is, but can you imagine the zuchus if they're the cause for their husband to become a Talmud Chacham? Then that zuchus of Talmud Torah is a much greater zuchus of Talmud Torah. So she wanted to maximize her zuchus of Talmud Torah. So she offered him, she says, if you go to the Beis Medrash, I'll accept Kiddushin from you. So Amar Lah, he said, in Ikdisha LeBitzina, and then they had Kiddushin Bitzina. So again, it implies that it was only Kiddushin. The Gemara Nedarim says that it was actually Nisuin. The Ben Yoyada says that initially there was Kiddushin, and then she thought that she'd be able to hide that from her father, and he wouldn't find out, and nothing would happen, but her father found out, so it became something that she might as well have Nisuin. So they had Nisuin, and he actually stayed for a year, because that's what the Pasuk in Chumash says. Naki yeh lebeiso shana achas. Rabbi Akiva wasn't going to ignore the Pasuk in Chumash. It's Parsha, so he wasn't going to ignore that Pasuk in Chumash. So therefore, they stayed together for a year, and then he went off to learn. So anyway, so they had the Kiddushin v'shidarte, and she sent him off to Yeshiva. Shama avua afka mibeise. The father heard that they got married, and he threw her out of the house. Adra anah minichse, and he took a neder anah that she's not allowed to get any anah from his nechassim, and there were plenty of nechassim. Also, the Yasu Tresnation in Bibei Rav, Rabbi Kiv went and learned for 12 years, Kiyasa Aisi Bade Tresra Alfi Talmidi, and he came back with 12,000 Talmidim. So Shamela, who Sabbat de Karmala, and Rabbi Kiva overheard outside of his house a certain Zakain saying to his wife, Ad Kama Kamidbart Almanus Chaim, how long are you going to live and act like an Almana whose husband is still alive? That you might as well be an Almana. Your husband's over here. So Amalei, she said, Yosef, if he would listen to me, he'd go for another 12 years. I wouldn't mind if he went for another 12 years. So Amar, Rabbi Kiva said in his heart, wow, apparently I'm allowed to go for another 12 years and she doesn't mind. So he went back for another 12 years of learning in the Beis HaMedrash. Now the Iyun Yaakov points out that the reason he needed another 12 years was that the first 12 years was a shtickle shalo lishma. It was so that she would marry him. Now they're already married, the marriage is cemented, and he's going back for another 12 years purely with a sense of lishma. There's a famous comment of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz over here, why not at least stop in and say hello? Why not at least stay for a week and spend some time with her and then go back for another 12 years? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the famous Musar Shmuz writes or said that you cannot compare 24 years straight to 12 years plus 12 years, right? A person learns a little bit here, a little bit there, and he sits down for 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. It's not the same as learning for an hour straight. It's not the same as having a seder of Ritzifus where a person is absolutely focused. I gave a shmooze on the NCSY summer kollel this past summer about to the counselors, to the madrichim, about etzos, how to become a Talmud Chacham. So whatever the shmooze was, in addition to asmada, some etzos in approach to learning. So someone called me up afterwards and said, you missed the biggest etzah. You missed something. So of course, I missed a lot of things, but he said, no one ever became a Talmud Chacham learning with a smartphone next to them. So that's probably true. No one ever became a Talmud Chacham if they're constantly distracted. You have to put it away sometime in order to be able to be a Talmud Chacham. 12 years plus 12 years, certainly 12 seconds plus 12 seconds is not the same as 24 seconds. It's not going to be the same. I spoke yesterday I gave a shiur in an office, a local office, a nursing home business, and it was a lunchtime shiur in the office yesterday, in someone's office yesterday locally, and the person introduced me quoted my chavrusa, Rabbi Rasner, that he says it works in the opposite way also, that just like 12 years plus 12 years of ruchnius is not the same as 24 years of ruchnius, but 8 hours, 10 hours straight of gashmius, or 10 hours straight of chol, of chulin, is not the same as 5 hours of chulin, a little bit of kedusha in the middle, and then 5 hours of chulin. That it's, it could change the whole nature of the chulin by having a little bit of kedusha in the middle. He said, that's why we have a shir at lunchtime, to add some kedusha in the middle of the day. I thought that was a nice ha'ara as well. There's another comment by another one of the great Bali Musar, Chatzko Levenstein, writes that the reason he couldn't come in to say hello is because if he would have come in to say hello, he never would have gone back, because he would have been so troubled by everything. He would have walked in and he would have seen the pile of mail, right, that he has to go through after 12 years, and that would have kept him there forever, and he never would have, he would have realized there's so much to do. I haven't, no one's taken out the garbage in 12 years, and now, right, he would have had to take care of everything that hadn't been taken care of in 12 years, and he never would have gone back to the yeshiva. So Kiyasa Aisi Ba'adei, when Rabbi Akiva returned, he brought with him Esrin Varba Alfei Talmidi, 24,000 Talmidim, Shama Debitu, his wife heard, Havas Kanaf Galape, so she went out to greet him. Samalei Shivvasa, the neighbor said to her, "Sheili mani levushvi kasai, you got to get dressed up nicely." Samalahu, so the wife, Rabbi Akiva, Mrs. Akiva, said to the neighbor, "I don't need to get dressed up nicely for his kavod. Yodeat tzadik nefesh b'amto. He knows that I suffered for him. He doesn't need to see me that I'm dressed up nicely." The Ran in the Dharm says that she says that I was mitzayir avuro. I went through the suffering all for his sake. He doesn't need to be more impressed with me than he already is. The Mefaresh in the Mesachs Nadarm, there's no Rashi in the Dharm, there's only a Mefaresh. So the Mefaresh writes that she didn't know that it was Rabbi Akiva, which is the impression you get from the Hemshik of the story. The father-in-law certainly didn't know it was Rabbi Akiva when he came home, so his wife didn't know. She just heard a big tzaddik was coming with 24,000 Talmidim. So she was saying that a tzaddik doesn't care how a person is dressed. Adrab, a tzaddikim give no greater kavod to a person who looks like an ashir and is dressed nicely than to a person who looks like an ani. That's one of the hallmarks of a tzaddik, is that they treat everyone equally, regardless of how much money they have. And that's what she was saying. The Marsha is a more elaborate explanation. We're not going to get into that right now. So Kimati Legabe, when she got to Rabbi Akiva, Nafla al Apa, she fell on her face, Kamenashkale Lekare, and she kissed his feet. So Havakamachvila Shamed, his Shamashim, Rabbi Akiva Shamashim, were sort of shoving her out of the way. Who is this crazy woman coming and kissing his feet? So Rabbi Akiva said to Shavashim Shavkua, leave her alone. Shaliva Shalachem Shalahu. All the Torah that I have, all the Torah that you have, is in her merits. It's in her zuchus. She should be given the most covet over here. So don't treat her like a nobody. The Ben Yoyada says, well, wait a second. He hasn't been home in 24 years. Mustama, she hasn't been going to the mikvah. There's no need to go to the mikvah if the husband hasn't been home in 24 years. How could she go kiss his feet? So the Ben Yoyada says that she was ochel chulin betahara. It used to be that people would have to go to the mikvah not only lebaila, but for Tumah and Tahara purposes as well. And people who lived on a particular madrega of Kedusha would be Ochel Chulein Betara, that even Chulin, they would eat Betara. And that must have been her personal hanhaga, or she kept hope alive every single day that maybe he's going to come home, and therefore she went to the mikvah whenever she did. There is a concept in halacha called tevila bizmana mitzvah, that there's a mitzvah to be tovel in the right zman, but we don't paskin that way. We don't paskin tevila bizmana mitzvah. If we held tevila bizmana mitzvah, then it's not about baila, it's not about her husband. It would just be that the tevila itself, to go at the right time, is a mitzvah. But that would mean that if a woman becomes a nida, she'd have to go to the mikvah 7 days later, even though we're machmir that to treat it ki'ilu she's a zava gadol and she still needs shivin nekiyim, because if tzvila b'zman mitzvah, you got to go on the day that you're actually supposed to go. It would also mean that the mikvahs would be open on Tisha B'av and on Yom Kippur, because if tzvila b'zman mitzvah, it's not about the husband. We don't pass in that way. Shulchan Aruch paskins mitzvah litval b'zmana, that there's a mitzvah to go to the mikvah on the right time because of mitzvahs ona, because of shalom bayis, because of puravu, the opposite order, the Shulchan Aruch says puravu and ona and shalom bayis. So you have such a thing, a mitzvah litval b'zmana. So Mestama says ben yada, she went to the mikvah somewhere along the way. So shama avua da'asa gavar rabbi l'masa. So the father of Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law heard that a great man had come to town, did not hear that it was Rabbi Akiva. So Amar ezel gabe, he said, let me go efshar to mefer nidrai. If there's a great person here, maybe he could be made for my nether for me. So asa l'gabe, when Kabbal Shavua got to Rabbi Akiva, he told him that he was Madir Hanav with his daughter, and because of this, she married a lowlife, and you know, he feels bad about it. So Rabbi Akiva said, Adaita Degav Rabbi Minadarta, did you take a nether with the dust that the man would then become an Adam Gadol, that he would become someone who's an honored person? So Amalei, so Kabbal Shavua said, Afilu Perkecha, Afilu Halacha Achas. Had he known anything, I wouldn't have taken the Neder Anah. If he learned a Mishnah, he learned something. So Amalei, Anahu, Rabbi Akiva then revealed his identity. He said, I'm the one that used to be your shepherd. Nafal Alape Vinashke El Kare, so Kabbal Shavua himself, I guess it was a family trait, fell on his face and kissed Rabbi Akiva on his feet. Yavle Palga Bamone. And at that point, he gave him half of his money. The Rishonim raised the question. Tosos, most famously over here, there's a very well-known Tosos among the Bali Musar. Tosos says, "Well, wait a second. How can you be posea? How can you undo a neder when binolad? How can you be poseach binolad? Typically, when you undo a neder, it's adaita da'achi minadarta. Had you realized what the circumstance was at that time, would you have taken the neder? And there's something that was happening already at that time that you were unaware of, and you say, no. Had I known that at that time already that something was going on, I never would have taken the neder. But you can't be poseach binolad. You can't say, oh, had you known that 5 years later, 10 years later, something was going to happen, would you have taken the neder then? That doesn't matter. At the time of the neder, he knew, he had all the facts there, he had everything in front of him, he knew exactly what he was doing. So that wouldn't be a good enough Pesach for the neder. So Tosfos famously answers that the derech of Amei Aretz, when they commit themselves to go learn Torah, is to become gedolim. Tosfos doesn't just say to become regular people. He says, Dahach lo chashuv nolad kivin shahalach lebei rav, d'derechu baholich lilmod shenasa adam gadol. It's the derech of someone who goes to learn that he will become an adam gadol. That if a person commits himself to learn, then it's the derech that will become an adam gadol. Less famous is Tosfos' second answer. Inami kugon d'tala nidro b'davar shapirish b'shash nadra aldasim lo yasasov for d'binyin zeh lo avinola. That maybe he said it explicitly, that it was the neder was aldas, that the person is an am haaretz. Because he said that explicitly, even by a nolad, you can be poseach. The Rashba gives a different answer. He says Rabbi Kiva wanted to see if he was mischarit in the neder or not, but he only wanted to see if he was mischarit on the neder. He wanted to let him know that in that way that he was his son-in-law. But the neder that he was matir was not because he became an adam gadol, meaning that the pesach was not that he became an adam gadol. Asking him that question of would you have taken this neder was just his way of introducing himself. It was just his way of saying, hi, it's me, it's Akiva, your son-in-law. But the Pesach for the Neder was something else. The Pesach for the Neder was, had you known that how embarrassing this would be for your daughter, and how embarrassing this would be for your entire family, that was really the Pesach, that you ripped apart your entire family with that Neder. So that was really the Pesach. The Chuvasa Rivash says, and it must be that Rabbi Akiva was not the Chacham who was matir the Neder, because he was Nogea Bedavar, right? Can you have a bigger Nogea Bedavar? The richest man in the world is about to give you half of his money as long as you get rid of this neder. So they must have called in some other rabbis to be matir the neder. So anyway, so Bartei Rabbi Akiva Avdelei Leben Azai Hachi. They raised the daughter. Rabbi Akiva and his wife raised the daughter, who then did the same thing. She married Ben Azai with the understanding that he was going to go to the Beis Medrash for an extended period of time for 24 years. Vayna Damri Inshi, and that's what people always say: Rechela Basa Rechela Azla. That a sheep like mother like daughter, a sheep follows the mommy sheep. Kovd uvde ima kach uvde barta, like mother, like daughter. The daughter mimics the behaviors of the mother. Rav Yosef b'Rei de Rav Shadre. By the way, who did she do it with? With Ben Azai. Ben Azai was nafsho chashka b'tara. Ben Azai never got married. There's a machlokas in the beginning of Masechta Sota whether Ben Azai married and divorced or never got married in the first place. But even if you hold Tosfos writes that even if you hold that he never got married, he had at least had erusin. He never had nisuin, but he at least had erusin, and that was with the daughter of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yosef b'Rei de Rav Shadre avu ilbei Rav lekamei. He sent lekamei to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef b'Rei de Rava, his father sent to his father sent him to the Beis Medrash to learn by Rav Yosef. Sent Rava to learn by Rav Yosef. Paskel le shis shni, and he said 6 years that he should go learn for 6 straight years in the yeshiva. Kavatlas shni, after 3 years matamali yom tekipuri on an erev yom kippur. Amar ezelach zinilin shibesi. He said, let me go home and see what's going on at my house. Let me go visit my wife after 3 years. And it was dafka on erev yom kippur. Shama avui, his father heard that it was Rava heard that Rav Yosef was coming. Rava was the father, so he heard that Rav Yosef was coming. Shakal mana, he took his weapons as if he was going out to war. V'nafak la'ape, and he came to greet him as if to say, "What are you doing here? And I'm willing to fight you over this decision to come home early." So Rava said to his son Rav Yosef, "Zonascha niskarta? What, you remembered your zona? I mean, you have such taivas for your wife that you had to come home 3 years into it." The Marsha says, "What did the girl do? She was just sitting there quietly. So you're going to call her a zona? What did she?" So he says, "No, it must be a girsa problem. It must be zugascha niskarta. It's your zug, your wife." Doesn't mean that he wasn't referring to her in a derogatory way. You're not allowed to refer to a bas yisrael in such a way. The Marsha says he dafka came in erev Yom Kippur dafka to fight that impression, because on Yom Kippur night there's an isra of tashmish. So it's one of the chamish inuyim. He just really missed his wife. It wasn't about physically wanting to be intimate with her. But anyway, so he said, "You missed you." That's why you came home. Ikadamri amalei others. He said, "Yonascha niskarta, that you came for your Yona, meaning for your beloved." So itru lo mar ifsik for lo mar ifsik. They got into a big fight, and they were arguing for so long that neither of them had a sudam of sekas that year. They both went into Yom Kippur hungry over that issue. Okay, so now the new Mishnah discusses the halacha of a moredes or a morid, a man or a woman. Once we discuss what the obligations are of a man toward a woman and a woman toward a man, what happens if people don't fulfill that obligation? So a moredes al baila, if a woman does not fulfill her obligations in the marriage, we start deducting from the amount of her ksuba 7 dinar for each week that she continues to be moredes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shiva trapikin, that it's 7 trapikin that we deduct from her ksuba. A trapik is not a great deal of money. The Gemara tells us that was Hillel, was the Anisha Ba'aniyim. He was the story where he came to the Beis Medrash and ended up not being able to afford the tuition to the Beis Medrash. It says he was a stacker betrapik b'kol yom, that he made 1 trapik. That's how much money he made each day, and half of that money is what it cost to be able to get into the Beis Medrash. You imagine it was a couple of shekel. It wasn't that much to get into the Beis Medrash, but he made almost nothing. He made no money. So Shiva Trapikin is a nominal sum of money. That's what we deduct from Ruksuba. Ad Masayhu Poches, how long does this go on for? Ad Kedek Ksuba. So we keep doing that until we get to the full amount of the Ksuba. Rabbi Yossi Yomar Lol Mupoches Vaholech Adam Tipol Yerushim Akam Acher Gove Emena. We continue to deduct in case she has any more money hidden anywhere, in case she gets Yerusha from somewhere else, even past the point of the entirety of her ksuba, we continue to deduct more and more money as long as she is moredas. And it's a two-way street. If the husband doesn't fulfill his obligations toward his wife, we add to the amount of her ksuba 3 dinar for each Shabbos, that it's 3 dinar each week, not 7 dinar, 3 trepik each week, and not 3 dinar each week. So machlokas, whether it's dinar or trepik, in both the penalty on the woman as well as the penalty on the man, whereas by the woman, though, it's a deduction of 7 per week. With the man, it's an addition of 3 per week. So it says, moredas mimai. We're talking about this woman who's moredas. What does that mean, she's moredas? Ravuna amar mi tashmash amita, Rabbi Yosef b'chanin amar mi malacha. That either she refuses tashmash amita or she refuses to do malacha. Now, the Meiri points out, if you hold that it's Mitash Shamita, so what do you do to a woman who refuses to do malacha? So he says, we don't deduct from her ksuba. We have other ways of trying to force her. Shamta and nidui, physical pressure, something. We do whatever we can to try to convince her to do the malacha. But as far as tashma shamita, we go straight for a financial penalty. So tanan b'chena morid alishto. So we have this machlokas, what moredes means, but the same mishnah says that it works in the other direction also. It's a two-way street, and a husband sometimes is a morade. So maybe that will help clue us in into what moredes means. Does moredes mean refusal to do malacha, or does moredes mean refusal to have tashma shamita? So let's look at it from the other perspective. Chena morade alishto. Well, bishlam manyam mitashma shlechi. If you say that morade means that from tashma shamita, so then it's very good. I understand that it goes both ways. If the husband refuses tashma shamita, he's also not living up to his obligations. El manyam malacha mi meshubda. But if it's about malacha, is the husband meshubda to do malacha for his wife? That's not the way it works. So says Marin, Omer enizan veni mefarnes, that a husband does have a shiba to his wife when it comes to the malacha, because he has to give her mezonos and he has to be mefarnes his wife keneged the malacha that she does for him. So a husband who's married is someone who says, I will not support her, and the Mishnah says, yeah, well then we put a kenas on him that we keep on upping the amount of the ksuba if he refuses to support her. So ask the Gemara of Amarav, Omer enizan veni mefarnes yotiv itim ksuba. But wait a second, I thought that the penalty for that, for refusing to give mezonos and parnasa, is that you immediately have to divorce her and pay the entirety of the ksuba, not just that we slowly add on more money to the ksuba. So says Gemara, no, but velavlim luche bei, don't you need some time to have a conversation with him and to try to encourage him? So during that time that you're trying to encourage him and have a conversation with him, then we're adding to the ksuba. But eino chinami, if there's no reasoning with him, the negotiations are going nowhere, and he's just absolutely being stubborn and obstinate and refusing, then eino chinami yotzi v'yitin ksuba. But in the meantime, until we get to that point, we continue to add money to the ksuba. Okay, says Gemara, let's try another raya in this machlokas. Again, the machlokas is, what does moredes mean? Does it mean she refuses tashma shamita, or does it mean she refuses to do malacha? So meisei, we have a braisa that talks about a moredes, and it says achas li arusa. It doesn't matter whether she's an arusa, unesua, or whether she's in nesua. Vafilu nida, vafilu chola, and even if she's in nida, and even if she's ill, vafilu shomeres yavam, and even if she's a shomeres yavam who's refusing to do yibum, who's not interested in doing yibum, she's being moredes on the yavam rather than her regular husband. So in all of these cases, we deduct money from her ksuba. So says Gemara, bishlam leman yamrim malacha shapir. I understand very well if moredes means she refuses to do malacha. It makes a lot of sense. These examples all make sense. El man yamrim mitashmish. But if you say that moredes means she refuses to have tashmish, one of the people on the list was Anita. Nida bas tashmishi. Is Anita someone who's able to have tashmish, that she's going to be considered a moredes for refusal to have tashmish? The Ritva points out that it doesn't work so well with malacha either, because we said afilu nida, who refuses to do malacha. Afilu nida, what difference does it make if she's a nida or not a nida if she's refusing to do malacha? Unless you say that no, kom lach shisho salabayla, nida salabayla, chutz mimzik sakos atzal samita chutz panav yodav ragla. Right, we had that day in Monday stuff, I think, right when I wasn't here, when Elisha gave that there are certain things that a nida does not do labayla. So you might think that, okay, give her a break on malacha in general and not doing work in general. So that's why it's afilu nida when it comes to malacha. Incidentally, I'm not sure if Alicia pointed out, there's a very chashuva tosfos right there on that line of the three things that the woman doesn't do for the husband, where Tosfos discusses, he quotes from Rashi in the Maksar Vitri, that Rashi comes up with the idea that you're not allowed to pass to each other either, you mentioned. So that's so some of the poskim are a little more makil with the passing, because Tosfos struggles to try to find where do we find in the Gemara that you're not allowed to pass something from one to the other. And Tosfos isn't convinced that there's any Gemara like that. So it seems that that's a minhag Rashi, maybe from the Gaonim, but post-Talmudic. And since it's post-Talmudic, there are certain circumstances where some of the poskim are mekel. Not so many of the poskim, and not so many circumstances, but some circumstances where some poskim are mekel. Anyway, so back to our story over here, if it's tashmish, how could it be that Anita is considered a moredes? So the one who holds that moredes means tashmish will explain to you, you can't compare compare someone who has the hope of a future tashmish to someone who doesn't. That even if she's a nida, and you know anyway right now you're not going to be able to have tashmish with her, but now she says that she's going to refuse, that she's not going to go to the mikvah, so then that changes the entire relationship and changes the entire attitude of the husband toward the wife, right? That's the could be that there's an isur yichud in such a situation. Why is it that the Tosafot of the Gemara in the Masech Sanhedrin says, why is it that a nida is allowed to have yichud with her husband? Typically you're not allowed to have yichud with somebody that's asur to you. And nida is an isur kari. It says absolutely an isur yichud with anyone who you have a yetzer hara for, that's an isur kari. So why is a nida allowed to have yichud? So the Gemara, it's because of this concept of pas besalo. So that's the question that we showed. Does pas besalo mean that they've already had tashmish, or that they will in the future be able to have tashmish, or both? And likely it means both. It has to be a couple that's already had tashmish, and a couple that in the future will be able to have tashmish. But if you have neither the pas besalo of having had the experience yet, such as a chupas nida, or you will not have the experience in the future, like a moredes or some woman who takes a neda that she's not going to have tashmish, so then there's going to be an isur yichud, because you don't have that same pas besalo. Ikada amri, others say that they bring a raya the opposite. Bishlam mandiyamar mitashmish hainu dektani. If you say mitashmish hainu dektani chola, that's why it makes sense to say chola, that she's because she's ra'ui to have tashmish. Almanya mimalacha chola bas malacha yi. But if moredes means that she refuses to do malacha, is a chola someone who's able to do malacha anyway? That a moredes is going to be, she's going to be considered a moredes for refusing to do malacha. What do you want from her? She's in bed. She's sick. No, we misunderstood the machlokas. Everyone agrees that if a woman refuses to have tashmish, that qualifies as a meredes. Ki pligi, the machlokas is mi malacha. Mar savri malacha lo havi meredes. Mar savri malacha na mi havi meredes. The machlokas is, if a woman refuses to do malacha, is that also considered to be a meredes? So the Gemara brings a brisa, that we quoted partially already on Amud Aleph, but now we're going to quote a little more elaborately that discusses this din of moredes. Ha moredes al baila pokslam ksubasa shiva dinar in b'shabbes. We dock from her ksuba 7 dinar each Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda omer shiva trapikin. Rabbi Yehuda says 7 trapik each Shabbos. Rabbi Seinu chazu v'nimnu. Then the rabbanim got together and took a vote, and they said that she machrizin ala arba shabbos zuachrazu, that instead of very slowly docking a little bit of pay of Ruxuba one week after the next, we go four shabbosos in a row, and we announce in the Beis Medrash that plonis bas plonis is moredes against her husband, meaning we make a public spectacle about it, even though typically you shouldn't be making other announcements that have nothing to do with Shabbos or anything of that day on Shabbos. This is considered the tzarech mitzvah, and cheshbono shel mitzvah mutal l'chashbon b'Shabbos. In order to save this marriage, it's considered cheshbono shel mitzvah. So v'sholchan Beis Din, the Beis Din sends her a message, and we tell her that if you don't, if after 4 weeks you refuse, then I don't care how much is in your ksuba, you're losing the whole thing. So instead of chipping away at the ksuba 17 or 7 trepik each Shabbos, it's 4 weeks in a row where it's in the announcements, in the shul announcements, 4 weeks in a row, and once that happens, she loses everything. The entire ksuba is gone. And what if she says after 4 weeks or after 3 weeks, okay, I changed my mind, I'm back in. So the Ritva writes, then she doesn't lose anything. Then, so the Ritva says, well, wait a second, then what's to discourage her from being moredes for 3.5 weeks? Meaning as if she doesn't lose anything until you hit week four, and then at week four she loses everything. That doesn't seem like a great system. So the Ritva says, because we warn her that once she's been moredes once, even if she didn't make it to 4 weeks, next time we're not going to wait 4 weeks. Next time it's going to be immediate. So she does lose out because she now has one strike against her. So anyway, achas the arusa, nesua, filu nida, filu chala, filu shomeres yavam, whether she's an arusa, nesua, nida, chala, or even a shomeres yavam. The Tashbis writes that the idea that she's a nida is considered moredes, that's only if he doesn't have another wife. But if he has another wife, then that's considered that he has pas besalo, somewhat of a chiddush. You would think that pas besalo is about each and every relationship that he has, that it's not only about about the ability to physically, satisfy himself. So Amalei Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Shmuel Nida Bas Tashmishi, as a Nida Bas Tashmish, how could you be considered a Moredas if she's not able to have Tashmish anyway? So Amalei, so Shmuel said, Ein Adam Mishiyesh Pas Pesal Mishein Lo Pas Pesal. Exactly the Yisod that we just said before, that you can't compare someone who has the knowledge that he will be with his wife again and someone who doesn't have that knowledge in his back pocket. So now the Gemara explains, where do we make this announcement? Meaning where we just said that we do this announcement for 4 weeks instead of slowly deducting the amount of the ksuba. So Amar Rami Bar Chama, Ein Machrizin Ale Ele Bati Knesios and Bati Midrashos. These announcements are made only in Bati Knesios and Bati Midrashos, not in the shuk, not in the streets of the city. You don't have a car going around with a megaphone on top of it. It's an announcement. It's made in shul. Amar Rav Tekanami Diktani Arba Shabbosos Zuachrazu Shema Mina. Because that's why it says that it's four Shabbosos, one right after the other. Because Shabbos is when the Bati Knesios and Bati Midrashos are typically full. There are fewer Minyanim. Everyone's all in one place. On Shabbos, the Balei Malacha, who are unable to attend Minyan during the week, will attend Minyan on Shabbos. So you'll have everyone together. So it's Arba Shabbosos. You see that we don't do this announcement in the Shuk. Amar Rami Bar Chama Pamayim Sholchan Lami Beis Din Achas Kodem Achraza V'Achas La'Achra Achraza. They let her know, they send her a message from the Beis Din that if she doesn't change her mind, she's going to lose the Ksuba. They send her that message before the Achraza and then after the Achraza, I assume with each Achraza. Darsh of Nachum Rav Chista Halacha K'Rabbi Seinu. We paskin like Rabbi Seinu, who took this vote and decided on this four announcement system rather than what the Mishnah says of docking the pay, deducting from the Ksuba X amount, a small nominal amount each week. Amarava, hi Burcha. Rava said, paskin against our Mishnah? That is totally inappropriate. So Amar Le Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, my Burcha, say, why is that inappropriate? And Amrisan Aleim, Shmeid Gav Rabba Amrisan Aleim. I'm the one that told him that, didn't I? Said in the name of an Adam Gadol, Umanu, and you want to know who my Adam Gadol is? Who's my source that says that it's completely appropriate and totally fine to paskin against our Mishnah? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, no less a person than Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina holds that this system of the four announcements is a better system than the one in the Mishnah, and that's why they outvoted the system in the Mishnah. The Eu and Ravu said, "Hi Burcha, Keman Savar." If Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina paskin that the halacha is like Rabbi Seinu, so who's Rava paskin like? He had it, Mar Rava Amrav Sheshes halacha nimlachin ba. That the halacha is that we hold back the get and we delay the get and we try to convince her not to be moredas, and while that's going on we deduct amounts from the ksuba. So that's like the Mishnah. Rav Huna bar Yudam Rav Sheshes halacha. Ein nimlachin ba. However, there was another version of what Rav Sheshes said, and that is that ein nimlachin ba, the exact opposite, that we follow Rabbi Seinu when we do the four-week announcement thing. So even though Rava criticized the idea of following Rabbi Seinu because he had a tradition from Rav Sheshes that nimlachin ba, which sounds like we follow our Mishnah and not Rabbi Seinu, there's another version of Rav Sheshes himself who says that we follow Rabbi Seinu and not our Mishnah. So Gemara says, what is the Moredas that we're talking about? Hechidami Moredas. What is she? What's the Moredas that we're talking about in our Mishnah and the Spraisa? So I remember the Amra Biinale Umitzaarnale, where she says, I want him to be my husband, but right now I also want him to suffer a little bit. I'm angry at him, and I want him to go through something. Aval Amra Ma'usalei. But if she says Ma'usalei, and I just have no interest in this marriage, this man is disgusting to me, I don't want him. I don't even need the ksuba. Just get me out of this marriage. Lo kaifinan la. Then we don't force him. We don't force her to stay with him. She goes out and she doesn't get a ksuba. Meaning, if she says ma'asalai, so she can. That's enough reason for us not to encourage her to stay and to get her get. But she can't just say ma'asalai and cost the husband the ksuba. Then she's clearly the one that's opting out of the marriage, so she's not going to get her ksuba. Marzutra amar kaifinan la. Marzutra says she says ma'asalai, we force her to try to, meaning we encourage her to try to change her mind, because even if she says Ma'asalai, it could be that today he's Ma'asalai, but in the future he's not going to be Ma'asalai. I mean, she's so angry, she's not seeing the difference between I want to make him suffer for a little bit and Ma'asalai, that today she feels Ma'asalai, and that's what she's expressing, what she's feeling today, but we're not so confident that that's what she's going to feel tomorrow, so we still try to negotiate with her, we still try to get her to change her mind. There was such a situation where Mazutra went through this whole process with a woman who said Maas Halai, v'nafak minei, they got back together, and from that marriage emerged Rabbi Chanina Misura, who's an Adam Gadol. So if, had they not worked on repairing that marriage, can you imagine the loss to Klal Yisrael that we wouldn't have had Rabbi Chanina Misura? And you'd imagine if they raised a child like Rabbi Chanina Misura, yeah, you never know, but chances are that a child like that was raised in a stable home. He was probably raised in a loving home. So they must have done a good job, that even though they got to the point of Maas Halai, that there is a way to repair a broken marriage. Velohi, Hasam Siyata Dishmaya Hava, says Gemara, don't let that bring a riot to you. Over there, it was a special Siyata Dishmaya that an Adam Gadol came from there. But that's not typical. Meaning these results are not typical. Don't expect that after a woman gets to the point of saying Maas Halai, that they're going to raise a child like Rabbi Chanina Misura. That's highly unlikely that such a thing would happen. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up with Kalase de Rav Zvid. Okay.